day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Liquorland. Click and collect in only 30 minutes.
Good evening and welcome to Sports Day on this Friday evening. We hope you've had a fantastic week and thank you very much for your company tonight. A big evening of Sports Day it is coming up. Adam Papalia with you alongside Mark Reddings this evening. Looking forward to having a chat to a Fremantle AFLW star, Roxy Roux, who's going to join us in the studio a little bit later on. But there's an absolute feast of sport going on. Big preview of the weekend coming up as well. But it's a very good evening to you, Mark Reddings.
Yes, and to you, Adam, and to our listeners, both you, perhaps, and myself, both late emergency call-ups for tonight because we know Paul Hayes will be having a night off, and I got the call this afternoon from Carl Langdon, who is currently by his daughter's bedside. Little Emily's having her appendix out, so he's out of duty today. So wishing Carl and the Langdon family all the very best for the operation for Em. And speaking of daughters, I do have to give an early shout out to my daughters, my beautiful twin daughters who are 19 today, Georgia and Olivia. So I can guarantee you this, they don't like sport, they won't be listening to me, but they do like free tickets to big events. So that being said, yeah, plenty to get through between now and 8 o'clock. We know there's intra-club matches between with West Coast and Fremantle, plenty of women's sport going on, including the ICC T20 World Cup. We've got the AFLW ongoing, so a lot to get through between now and 8 o'clock.
We certainly do. We welcome your calls on 9221 882. So your thoughts on all the sport that's going on at the moment, what will you be tuning into? Will it be the pre-season for the men's? Is it the AFLW? Is it the women's T20, the A-League? There's a crazy match going on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the question I'd like to ask our listeners tonight on 9221 882, and it's football related. Would you over this weekend be watching more of the AFLW, which is in season and fourth year in? Fremantle going well, West Coast into the competition. Will you be watching that? Or, if you've got the choice, will you be watching the pre-season comp, the Marsh series as it's known, the pre-season comp for the men? 9221 882. Which competition captures your attention? Albeit the AFL season proper is still a few weeks away, but the AFLW is up and running. What commands your attention? 9221 882. For us, and let's not just stand put ourselves in a neutral position, we tend as broadcasters look to the game that will affect us next with our calling to do some homework. So we're going to get ourselves off the hook by saying that. I'll be watching Collingwood play Carlton in the AFLW during the week because I'm doing the AFLW tomorrow. But as a viewer, as someone who sits on their lounge room, what do you prefer, the AFLW or the pre-season of the men? What would you rather watch?
9221 882 is the phone number. Speaking of the men's pre-season, West Coast and Fremantle, they don't start that till next weekend. So instead, they had a couple of practice matches today, and we want to update you with exactly what did take place. We'll talk Fremantle in a moment with Nathan Schmuck from afl.com.au, who cast an eye across their practice match today, and a bit more news certainly coming out of Fremantle. But right now, let's go to Paddy Sweeney from Channel 9 News, who was watching West Coast today. Paddy, thanks very much for your time. I know only the first quarter was open to the media before you were kicked out and couldn't watch the last three quarters when they do the actual tactics that they try and keep away from us. But what was your impressions of West Coast today?
Yeah, good evening, Adam and Mark. I tell you what, it is funny. You get that first 15, 20 minutes, and then when you're told to pack up the camera and the tripod and walk out, it is a very slow walk back to the car park just as they start quarter two. But a couple of takeaways, and we're going to have some vision coming up shortly on the news. Jared Brander, obviously an emerging young likely type, a Victorian recruit a number of years ago. He's just played the three games. Started on a wing, despite when you've got the likes of Andrew Gaff, Tim Kelly, Luke Shuey, Jack Redden, Dom Sheed, all in the midfield as well. He started on the wing, looked clean with his ball, got plenty of disposal and also kicked the opening goal. So interesting to see West Coast. It's going to be interesting to see if they can actually settle on a position for Jared. As I said, he's only played the three games, but at 196 kilos, guys, he's actually taller than Patrick Cripps, Nat Fife and Paddy Dangerfield. So if he could actually lock down that wing position, it'd be quite something. So, look, he was really impressive. Shannon Hearn obviously gave up the captaincy in the off-season, but he looks like he's just going to be the same old reliable Shannon Hearn, in mopping up everything down back as well. And really, in the centre clearances and those ruck contests, Nick Natanui looks really, really good. He seems fresh, he seems ready to go, he's leaping high, and also doing it at ground level as well, which we know is one of his main attributes.
Small forward situation at West Coast is I guess a question, because Willie Rioli won't be part of the system in 2020, to our understanding. So how are they going? Liam Ryan is one option. How did he fare today, Paddy?
Flying, in one word, and it's not really surprising. Up shortly on the news, not one, but two of the greatest and spectacular marks you'll see at an intra-club game of all time. He just has this unbelievable ability to get up on the shoulders and literally stand on players' shoulders. So he was down there doing his thing early as well. Look, Jermaine Jones, they've got at least one spot on that rookie list that they need to fill, potentially two, just depending on what way they go with the health of Daniel Venables and those concussion concerns. So look, Jermaine Jones, the former Cat, I know they've been delving deep into the intel from Tim Kelly, who obviously played alongside him at Geelong. He was there, didn't do a lot in that first quarter, which we saw. He got to a couple of contests, looked dangerous and lively, but wasn't really there. And the other one, I guess, is Nick Reid, who has played so much in the Waffle last year, featured really prominently, kicked a couple of goals in their finals campaign against Claremont as well. But I think what I'm hearing is he actually might have suffered just a slight setback on the training track in the last week or so. So at the moment, you'd think Jermaine Jones is actually ahead of Nick Reid, though, for that spot in the rookie list vacancy there.
Thanks, Paddy. Really appreciate your update. Luke Shu, you've had a chat to him. Obviously, he's not been selected in the Vic All-Stars match.
Yeah, exactly. So the new skipper was out there today, played about 80 minutes, but he's been troubled by a bit of a nagging injury in the last couple of months. So shortly on the news, he sort of reveals the exact nature of that injury. But don't be too worried if you're Eagles fans. He was out there and he's going to play next Thursday night against Essendon at Lathlane Park there.
Thanks, Paddy. Paddy Sweeney there from Channel 9 News with an update of the West Coast intra-club today. Surprising, though, that he can play in a Marsh Series game rather than going across to play in the Origin game the next day.
I think it's managing his minutes. That's essentially.
Of course, but still. Steve is in Busselton. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hey, guys. I definitely would prefer to watch the Marsh game, what do they call it nowadays?
The pre-season, yep.
Over the women?
But mind you, the demographics, I am punching 60, and when I'm gone, the younger generation are the ones that's going to support the women's football, I think. But it's a bit like, I suppose, watching any competition, you want to see the best of. It's a bit like tennis. They always say how good, I mean, Serena Williams could whip my backside in tennis any day of the week, but I think women, you know, lawn bowls, darts, games are not physically demanding. Maybe cricket to a degree. Although I watch a bit of the cricket, but I don't think I'll get out of the habit of preferring to watch men's football at the elite level. But
okay,
maybe in years to come.
Yeah, no, it's a fair look. And Steve was quite gracious to say, look, his age demographic would probably not veer towards AFLW. I think that is a very pertinent point. Off the back of that, I think for me, the Marsh series, I just think have a couple of intra-club games and get into the season. We're 2 weeks behind the NRL. The Marsh series, for what it's worth, go straight to the AFL round one.
I agree that it should be short and sharp and straight into it. 9221 882. We've checked in with West Coast Intra-Club already. We'll check in with Fremantle's Intra-Club and find out all the news from there with Nathan Schmuck from afl.com.au next on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Liquorland. Click and collect in only 30 minutes.
Thanks for your company on Sports Day this evening. Adam Papali and Mark Reddings with you. 9221 882 is the phone number. We spoke with Paddy Sweeney from 9 News covering West Coast scratch match that they had today, intra-club match. Let's talk Frio now and go straight to Nathan Schmuck from afl.com.au. Schmucky, great to have you on the show. Thank you very much for your time. It's a new era at Fremantle. What did you learn from their intra-club today?
It is, Pats. It was a big day heading from Lathlane and then over to Coburn. But the Freo Intra Club was a really interesting one. I think we're starting to get a look at what Justin Longmuir's best side is going to look like, or his preferred side, as they cover all those backline injuries and look to a bit of a new era in the midfield. So that was probably the thing that stood out for me. Just the young guys that they're going to be running through the midfield, Brayshaw, Chera as full-time mids, and then Akers, he looks like he's going to come in really cheap pickup during the trade period, obviously, as part of the Bradley Hill deal, but he looks like he's going to come in and play a big role, probably switching between the wing and even an inside midfield role. So it was a good day for Freo, I think, yeah. And Justin Longmuir would have been pleased with what he saw.
Speaking of Justin Longmuir, Nathan, couldn't have had much worse luck in terms of his defensive players and availability for round one, but no Pierce, no Hamling. How is it looking in the back six? How are they going to set that up to give themselves a chance in the first part of the season?
Yeah, Skeet, I think this is one thing that he would have been really pleased with, and that was Griffin Logue. He was excellent. He's looking really big. Looks like he's had a good pre-season, and he's ready to take on those big power forwards of the AFL or do his best as a fourth-year player. So I think he's going to be one of their key pillars in defence, alongside Brennan Cox, a tall forward moving back. They were the two big guys in their, I guess you'd call it their A team. They had a clear best 18 versus the rest today, and their back six set up with those two, and then Taylan Demand, Luke Ryan, Stephen Hill and Reece Conker rounded out that back six. So I think that's the way they're looking to go, I guess, at least for the Marsh series and see how things flow on to round one.
Haggers is pretty strong on it on 6PR Brecky about Joel Hamling when he first did his injury, that it was quite a serious one, but it is looking like maybe mid-season for Joel Hamling to come back.
Yeah, so the Dockers, they revealed this week a dislocated ankle for Joel Hamling and went under the knife on Monday. So, yeah, obviously a really serious injury. Peter Bell, speaking today, wasn't able to give a timeline for his return, but was asked, you know, are you hopeful that you'll see him in the first half of the season? And Belly said, look, that'd be hopeful. We'd be optimistic, but we can't commit to that. So they're obviously sort of looking at that as a really serious injury and something that I guess they need to be prepared to not see Joel Hamling for the first half of the season, which, yeah, that would obviously open the door for Griffin Logue to have a really prominent role to play in that defence.
At the other end of the ground, obviously Rory Lobb as a forward is something that they're certainly looking at, which means David Hales, maybe he's got to come back on the cards again. He's having to spend a fair bit of time in the ruck for Freo at these practice games.
Yeah, second Friday in a row for David Hales. So he went up against, I forget the player's name, but a Peel Thunder top-up player was in the ruck as well. And I guess that shows how committed Fremantle are to playing Rory Lobb just as a permanent marking target forward. He looked good. He was marking the ball well, converted a set shot. I think Sean Darcy, Belly was pretty straight that he'll be back for the Marsh series. He's still sore in that shoulder that he copped last Friday. So he had a training session this morning away from the main group and was quite competitive from reports. So, yeah, hopefully we see him back in the Marsh series and Rory Lobb can still play that forward role. And I guess they've always got that breaking case of emergency option with him. He's proved to be a decent ruckman at AFL level, but wants to play forward. And I think playing him forward with Jesse Hogan out of the team is probably a good thing for Fremantle.
Hey, Schmucky, it might be hard to tell just on an intra-club game, but have you noticed even in terms of game style, in terms of bubble and enthusiasm, which every club's got at this time of the year, but have you noticed anything with regards to Justin Longmuir doing things subtly different to what Ross did in previous years, or is it a bit tough to tell from just this intra-club game?
Oh, the definitely the play on the corridor and moving it quickly, being a bit more attacking, stands out in these intra-club games. I think that they made more mistakes. That was evident today, that the skills weren't really sharp, but I think the way they played was more exciting. So that's the biggest change. The players seem bubbly. They seem pretty happy to be out there, and there's a lot of talk, which is good. But yeah, the biggest change for me is the way that they're playing on and looking to score, not looking to defend with the ball in hand and play conservatively. They're just looking to go. So I think Fremantle fans can look forward to a different style of play. I think that's definitely to be expected with Justin Longmuir coming in. I think it's a good thing. And yeah, whether the skills, hopefully the skills can sharpen up, that's been a focus of the summer as well. It wasn't as evident today, though, as the change of style.
Yeah, I think Fremantle fans will be getting excited, Schmucky, as you said, with the fact that they may be taking the game on a bit more, but just whether, what injuries they do have come round one and how they are going to shape up when they hit that first game of the season. Nathan Schmuck from AFL.com.au, really appreciate you giving us an update. Cheers.
No worries at all. Good evening, guys. Cheers.
You can check out all of Schmucky's stuff on afl.com.au. He's got a full wrap of that intra-club match today and right across all the news. 9221882 is the phone number. Any further thoughts? What do you prefer to watch? The AFLW, which is in competition at the moment, playing for points and trying to make their way up the table? Or do you want to see the Marsh series? What would you prefer to watch if they are on at the same time? West Coast AFLW or Marsh series, or Fremantle vice versa if they're playing up against each other? 9221882, the phone number. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Liquorland. Click and collect in only 30 minutes.
Great to have your company on Sports Day this evening. Adam Papalia and Mark Reddings are with you. We're going to welcome in a very special guest, Roxy Roo from Fremantle's AFL team. He's going to join us shortly. Great name.
It's the best in the competition.
And a great player as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's two names that we called last weekend in the AFLW Derby. That was Roxy Roo and Grace Kelly. I mean, it's obviously goes without saying the West Coast Eagles Irish recruit, but Roxy Roo, a rising star nominee, a couple of goals, didn't have many touches, but gee, she flies for the footy, and there's just something about her that makes that Dockers forward line look a whole lot better.
Probably not going to give it away, but did you have a Grace Kelly line ready and
I
ready
didn't
to go?
Really, and you know, well, there's a line there, but it was only a very, very subtle line. But given she was outside my era by a fair way, and yours as well, obviously,
I had to do a bit of googling.
Yeah, well, I knew the name, and I knew that there was obviously a stage and screen element to it. But it's an interesting one to grow up with, isn't it?
Certainly is. We are being a little bit self-indulgent. Let's get back on track and talk some of the sport that is going on today. There's been a crazy game in the A-League, which is just about wrapped up. 5-2, the Wanderers over Adelaide United. So plenty of goals being scored there. And the Phoenix with a 2-0 victory over Western United earlier on tonight, which means they jump above the Glory for the moment. Perth taking on the Brisbane Roar tomorrow. We'll have a chat to Neil Kilkenny a little bit later on in the program. We were talking about the AFL preseason, though, and the Marsh series. Thoughts on how long it should be? I think we touched on it just before, but I think a couple of intra-club matches, or maybe West Coast and Freo play in a non-broadcast game between themselves, and then we just get into it.
No, forget forget West Coast Fremantle. I don't want to just have your intra-club games and get into it a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier and then have the extra break during the year. Intra-club games, I think, are enough. The Marsh series to the JLT series. You know, it used to be the Anzac Cup, the Foster Cup. Forget it all. Cup. Seriously, it means, as Dennis Pagan once famously said, a bit like, you know, it's like dancing with his sister. I mean, it just doesn't have any purpose. I mean, the fans get a look at their team, but really, I think there's a real excitement if you just have two intra-club games and then roll into round one, because there's a lot of uncertainty. You haven't seen it. There's a high excitement. At the moment, we're going through a couple of weeks of this. They have, of course, pulled back the pre-season comp from, I think, three games not so long ago to two. I think scrap it. Full stop. That's just my gut feeling. That's what I like. And then you get into round one and start the season a fraction earlier. Have that extra break if required. I don't think it's going to do any harm to the comp whatsoever.
No, I don't think so either, and we'll just be into it and away for yet another season. Yes, throw open the gates for those couple of intra-club games that we have for those teams that just play against each other. You can get the crowds down there, and kind of like what they did at Moorabbin last night, you'd be able to create a bit of a community feel and really get into it. 9221882, the phone number. Let's go to Donnie in Spearwood. G'day, Donnie.
Good afternoon, boys. How are we going?
Good, thanks, Don.
I prefer to see those youngsters, you know, pre-season games and all that. You know, just to see how they go. You know, like all these new draftees and all that. Regardless, you know, on both sides of whichever teams are playing.
Yeah, it's fair enough, Donnie. I totally respect that. And a lot of people do. People that love their footy want to see their players, their young, their recruits, particularly Fremantle, have got some early recruits, early draft picks. I've got no issue with that from a supporter's point of view. Just for the spectacle, I think I'd love to see those intra-club games. The pre-season comp, to me, you know, you pay scant regard. And anyway, if it's all intra-club and then into round one, everyone starts on an even keel.
I think that would be good and add a couple of rounds into the season proper. Why not? 9221882 is the phone number. We're going to take an early break here because we've got a special guest coming into the studio right after this. Speaking of young talent coming through, AFLW star already, Roxy Roux is going to join us in the studio, the Rising Star nomination for Fremantle this week already. She will join us next here on Sports Day.
They've unearthed a couple of stars as well, and I'm very pleased to say that one of them joins us in the studio right now. I think she may actually have the best name, not just in the AFLW, but in the AFL as a whole. I'm talking about Roxy Roux, who joins us. Roxy, thank you very much for coming in and great to have a chat.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Roxy, your pathway to the AFLW, Dongara, let's go back to the very start, and via East Fremantle. Has this been a sport you've played for most of your life, or have you come into it in your teens?
No, so I joined during AusKick. So when you're about 5 years old, obviously you join up during AusKick. I just saw my friends having that fun and my mum said, look, go with join in if you want. So that's really how it all started. And from there, we had moved to Dongara. And from Dongara, that's kind of where things really started heating up. And so I started actually taking it more seriously. And mum, you know, asked me, is this something I want to do for the rest of life? And I said, yeah, like definitely. And it came to, you know, a stage where she goes, look, if there's no women's league, we'll get you to be the first women to play with the men. So, yeah, really happy with the women's league that's coming now.
What's it like growing up in Dongara and trying to keep the footy around there?
Yeah, no, it's very lovely. You know, obviously smelt a bit with the seaweed, but, you know, you get to get used to that after your first couple of months there. But, yeah, a lot of space to obviously roam around on the beaches and everything like that. So it's very lovely. And, you know, the neighbours are so encouraging and, you know, they just – everyone's in everyone's houses, really. You don't really have one house. It's, you have 20 houses along the street.
So it's become more commonplace now, obviously, girls playing footy. But what about you through Dongara? How many other girls in the town were playing footy and trying to follow the same path as you?
Yeah, so when I first started, there was one other girl playing football who had kind of come in and out. But as towards the end of my journey at Dongara, there were about three other girls that were starting to play. So, you know, it was really exciting to see those girls come through.
AFLW, you've got to the Dockers, which I'm sure would have been a priority to stay in WA if you had the choice. You've done that. You've made your debut. You've played a role in each of the games you've been part of. How have you found it?
Yeah, really exciting. It's just so nice to be out there with the girls. We've done all the training and I'm down the forward line with the bubs, we call ourselves. And so the coaches, they reckon that we just stand there and laugh and giggle the whole time. And yeah, most of it we do, but we do some footy stuff as well. So, you know, Auntie Gem and all them, they're really, you know, hyping me up and really doing well out there as well for themselves.
We look at some of the high marking across AFLW. Taylor Harris just throws herself with the footy. Gemma Houghton is in the same ilk. And you don't mind going for a fly either.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun, to be honest. I remember that kind of comes from playing on the trampoline with my brothers. So it was more of a game that we used to play. It was just throw up the ball and see who can go for it. So obviously they were much bigger than me, so I had a lot of elbows and knees in my guts. But, you know, that's how you learn. You learn from getting hurt. So, yeah, thanks to my brothers for that.
Did you think that at the time when they were roughing you up,
no,
that they were looking after you?
Definitely not. I got thrown off the trampoline so many times. I'm surprised that I'm not dead, honestly.
Rough and tumble growing up, obviously, up in Dongara. Yeah, you were talking about playing junior footy up there. So there's only a couple of girls playing up there. So you're obviously playing in the boys' league as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was really good playing with the boys' league, I think, for development personally. Like, all the boys, they were just my mates and everything like that. So really, there was no real difference until it came to about my last 2 years when some of the Geraldton older teams really didn't want me in there. But I had so much support from Dongara and in Robert Marks and Carly Hill, who just pushed her to have me in the team.
What was the reason why they didn't want you in the league? Were you dominating them too much?
No, I'm honestly not too sure. It was kind of a it was an old club, so we'll just stick with that. But yeah, to be honest, I just wanted to enjoy my football and have fun, and the boys around me saw that, and they all, you know, voted me in for captain in my last year. And in the last year, I wasn't allowed to win any accolades or anything like that, so I wasn't allowed best and fairest votes. I wasn't allowed coaches of what. I wasn't even allowed, you know, the smallest of things. But I just enjoyed my last year of football with the boys, and it was so much fun with them, and, you know, I won't forget it.
I only met you just a few minutes ago,
yeah.
And we talk in the media as being a power forward in the AFL with the men, and you sometimes marvel at the midfielders who we think are sort of around 5'10", 5'11". They're actually 6'2", the Patrick Cripps, etc. Well, you're listed as a forward and a key forward as such, but you're not as tall and as bulky as what I thought you'd be. Well, give us the dimensions. How tall are you?
So I'm 170 centimetres, so about 5'6". And, yeah, I guess for myself, I see myself as, you know, pretty bulky in the mirror, but obviously I don't really quite compare to the men. But, you know, I'm, you know, happy with body shape and everything like that, and the rest will come. So hopefully I'm still growing, but we'll see.
With the athleticism that you've got, what other sports did you play growing up, and there any of the skills that you think sort of transfer?
Yeah, so I had a go at nearly all sports that I could. I played tennis. Well, I didn't really play tennis. My mum wanted me to play tennis just so she could get me in the skirts, which I did for about a year. But other than that, I played basketball, played cricket for a little bit, a lot of little athletics. But yeah, pretty much any sport except netball. So I would not play netball.
Going against the convention or the tradition as you would have been growing up.
Yeah, yeah. Just I just couldn't play netball at all. And it was really funny because I remember the first time I came to Byford Secondary and they said, okay, we're doing netball for sports science. It was a disaster, to be honest. All the girls on the field were calling things and I was going, I don't know what's happening. And then they tried to put me in as an umpire and yeah, it just didn't work out.
Well, I'm glad that you went down the footy path because it's working out so far. I guess you're from a different generation. You mentioned the adversity that you found a bit at Dongra with the other teams not wanting you to play in the boys' league, but it's certainly the perceptions have changed around women's footy and the pathways have changed as well. I don't know how you feel about this, but it stands out to me that girls of your age now that are coming through have almost had a goal to try and reach the AFLW now for a couple of years, as opposed to the players of generations gone past who would have had to give up footy for a couple of years in that middle period.
Yeah, it's unbelievable the amount of women that I meet, older women that go, you know, I was born 20 years too late and would have loved to have that pathway. I mean, I still didn't have the cleanest of pathways, but I got away with it pretty well and I'm so happy that I had that opportunity and that support behind me. But it's just great to see all the young girls coming up now, like they have a competition in their junior league and they can move on to women's and they can eventually move on to Waffle W if that's what they want to do.
We're speaking to Roxy Roo, the Fremantle Dockers AFLW star, rising star nominee for this week. Interesting to point out that you've become a bit of a cult hero in the last couple of weeks. Now, your name is something that in the media we love. Mum, Dad, tell us where the Roxanne Roo, because it just rolls brilliantly off the tongue.
Yeah, so that's actually my dad's doing. My mum didn't get to choose my name. So I actually have an older brother, Ross Roo, so that kind of goes along the same line. But then my second brother had to mess it up with Dylan, so didn't do us any favours there. So we could have had, you know, one of those great families that was the and my dad's name is Rudy Roo. So, you know, we really had it rolling, but my second brother had to be born.
Rudy Roo. Roxanne covered, yeah.
I mean, you've got the only other Roo I know is Garth Roo, who used to be a South African cricketer. And if you want to do nicknames, there's Roo, as in Peter Matera and Mark Rusciuto, but Roxy Roo is something that's taken off across the AFLW.
No relation to Storm Roo, who used to play for the Perth Glory here at all?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, that's unusual. There must be a link there somewhere. Now, your mum, I hear she's quite vocal when she's watching you.
Yeah, she absolutely loves it. So if you haven't already heard the African war cry, it's very loud, and especially at 5 o'clock in the morning when she comes in. It is it's the thing that you dread. It's the thing out of nightmares. You don't want to hear it. But out on the field, it's lovely to run out and, you know, hear her and you know that she's there. And, you know, you can pretty much tell the rest of your family is with you because my dad, my eldest brother and my second eldest brother, they all sound the same. So I don't know which one is shouting at me, but I know they're there.
So give us a bit more background on that. So South African background, and she sits in the crowd and basically yells a war cry whenever you're celebrating, and she wakes you up like that in the morning as well?
Yeah, it's she comes in and she just, you know, lets go, and I feel so sorry for the neighbours because they have absolutely no idea what's going on. 5 o'clock in the morning, they have children, like little babies, and you can hear them cry afterwards because they've been woken up. So, yeah.
Going back to, and your mum, it might come from the DNA side of things, but when you kicked that goal at Optus in the Derby, and just outside the goal square, you gave us a really great celebration. Now, I'm not sure if that comes from your mum's side of it. Was that purely instinctive, I'm sure, but you just love that moment.
Yeah, no, I was really excited about that. And actually, I got home and Mum pulled me aside and she goes, "You're being too arrogant." So that's, yeah, she really laid into me with that. But, you know, it was my younger brother, he's related to the McGrath. So my mum did message him about it. And she goes, "Hey, is Roxy being too arrogant?" And he goes, "No, just let her have her moment." So, yeah, I was just really happy. And in front of the crowd, it was just something that you did instinctively.
Compared to Stacey Livingston, that was minor. That was, mind you, we in the media, and I think the general public loves seeing in the AFLW, whether it's your celebration or even Stacey saying what she thinks, it's a code, I think, that's embracing the personalities coming out.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm just happily, you know, trotting along with AFLW and saying what I need to say and nothing more.
Derby on the weekend, were you a Freo supporter growing up or were you West Coast? What was it like playing in front of 35,000 people in a derby?
Yeah, so actually having a dad that had supported West Coast and my mum that didn't really support anyone, I actually decided to follow my brother who actually supported Essendon. So for the younger years, I just wanted to be exactly like my older brother, Ross Roo. So followed them. But, you know, now since I've come to Freo, they're so supportive and I've just, you know, completely converted to the purple.
We're talking to Roxy Roo and it sounds like the Roxy Roo show, but you know, and we all know that the team is far bigger than one person and you've had a really good start as a club to this AFLW season. Two wins in a row, Collingwood coming up at Fremantle tomorrow afternoon. This team looks like it's on the move. You've got a really solid defence, Evie Gooch and others really playing a big role. Ebony Antonio going back and forward and the forward line with Gemma who's a live wire. There's a nice blend in this side with Turbo. Kiara Bowers just charging through and laying tackle after tackle.
Yeah, there's a lot of star players, but you also can't forget the likes of Katie Jane Grieve who's really, shone, especially in the derby and especially
well
in practice matches and everything like that. So, you know, they've really come through, even the younger players. Like Bianca Webb, having her debut, she laid, you know, the first tackle that set the tone. And from there on, I think we just went into attack mode. So it's really lovely to see all the young players and even, you know, players that are older and really coming through and shining. Like Janelle Cuthbertson just really had a crack at it on Saturday. So, yeah.
Brilliant. The obviously the forward line, Sabrina Duffy as well, who we've mentioned. You have a good relationship with her in terms of that forward line combination. She's the small forward. You're the tall forward, I guess, down there, or the athletic one taking all the marks, but it's pretty dynamic.
Yeah, tall in quotation marks. But Sabrina Duffy and I go a little bit back, actually. So I was playing a cricket tournament for the Midwest, and all of a sudden this girl out there, and she's called Sabrina Duffy, you know, she's taking really good one-handed catches and everything like that. And I remember later that night spilling my drink on her. So that's how I first met Sabrina Duffy. And then we met later on during State 15's tryouts. And so my state kind of journey has been run alongside her, except obviously her being older and, you know, leaving us about a year early. But yeah, she's a really great player and so much potential. And, you know, it only goes to show, you let her loose, she gets score 4 goals on you. So she's a really great player.
Speaking of forward line and kicking goals, the AFLW, the criticism at times has been not enough scoring. Trent Cooper looks like he's taken the handbrake off and really allowed you ladies to play and attack with a bit of excitement and try to hit the scoreboard, which not only means you're winning more than you're losing, but also crowds will come to see more entertaining games. Is that a bit of an ethos at the club to try and play attractive footy?
Yeah, we just play to our game plan. We just play to our game plan, which Trent, you know, tells us each week. We, you know, go through it. We go through strategies with Webby, who's our new strategist. So it's really just our style of footy at the moment. So he's a great coach, and I've been coached for him for the 2 years prior. So yeah, he's kind of almost like a dad to a lot of the girls. And he just the other day wrote a lovely message on the back of everyone's little postcard of a picture of the whole team after the derby. And so, yeah, just little things like that really touching. That was kind of my Valentine's Day gift from him.
You seem like a pretty tight-knit group, which we hope means plenty of success this season as you continue to push on. Just before you let you go, did the girls have a bit of a laugh at Kiara Bowers tackling the protester in the middle of the ground during the derby?
Yeah, look, it was hilarious to see someone actually come running out there. I had no idea what was happening. I honestly, because it looks like an Eagles supporter, I thought the Eagles had hired someone to come out with a flag that said round two or something like that. So I was going, wow, they're really taking it up a notch this year. But yeah, obviously a vegan protester. But yeah, it was really funny to see the photos afterwards and the commentary of her tackling. So, yeah, she's definitely getting up there with the tackle count.
Yeah, she was on world record pace at one stage during that game as well. And you yourself, how are you dealing with, I guess, a bit of notoriety about town now? Your name's getting out there a little bit more and everything that comes with being a professional footballer.
Yeah, look, it's great. It's something that I've always kind of dreamed of, to obviously play AFLW, but obviously you got to, you know, stay humble and everything like that. And I'm just enjoying the ride for the moment.
Well, you're doing very, very well. Congratulations on the Rising Star nomination. Really appreciate you coming in to have a chat to us tonight on Sports Day, and all the best against the Pies.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Roxy Roo there here on Sports Day this evening. Great chat.
What a pleasure she was to meet. As I said, I was staggered. I was expecting a really tall, powerful young lady, but she's quite petite and beautifully spoken. And apart from maybe Grace Kelly, who we called last weekend for the West Coast Eagles, Roxy Roo is clearly, in my opinion, the best name in AFLW.
Roxy, Rudy, Ross.
Oh, yes.
And Dylan.
The South African
and
connection. Tell you what, the mum might be something to behold if we get hold of Gail at some point.
Yeah, I think she might still be listening out there, Roxy, but she is an absolute star. She looks like such a gifted athlete, and she's going to go a long, long way in the AFLW, and we wish them all the best against the Magpies. That was Roxy Roo there, part of our Crown Perth Sports update this summer. Crown is the only destination where things are bigger, brighter. Welcome back to Sports Day. Anna Papalia, Mark Redding's with you. Been a very busy first hour, but Skeet, now time to get a Tab Touch odds update. Of course, always gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858, and we check in with Alex Vlahos. Evening, Alex.
Good evening, guys.
Let's get stuck into it. The Perth Glory in action tomorrow.
Yeah, it's quite an incredible schedule the Perth Glory have got. In the space of 2 weeks, they travel to Japan, and then they travel to Brisbane, Newcastle, then to Korea. But they've got the Brisbane Roar tomorrow at 2 p.m. a kickoff time. Brisbane Roar, $3.10. They're in really good form, have won 4 of their last 5. The draw at $3.50, and Perth Glory, who sits 3rd on the A-League ladder currently, are at $2.22.
What about the AFLW as we move through into week number 3?
Yeah, Fremantle Dockers are actually now favourites to win the premiership at $4.80 with Tab Touch. They play Collingwood tomorrow at 4:10 our time. Fremantle favourites $1.43, Collingwood $2.80. And on Sunday, the Eagles play GWS in the early game, 10:10 a.m. bounce down there. The Giants $1.32, West Coast at $3.30.
And Fury and Wilder in the boxing, a huge bout over there in Las Vegas that a lot of people will be tuning in for.
Yeah, there's so much anticipation about this Fury v. Wilder rematch. It's going to be around noon on Sunday, we think, the bout. And Wilder, $1.88, Fury, $1.96, the draw at $21. But it's almost flip of the cone odds for this rematch between the Bronze Bomber and the Gypsy King.
And what about racing? We know at Caulfield tomorrow, the Blue Diamond is one of, I think, 3 Group 1s.
Yes, the biggest two-year-old race in Melbourne, the Blue Diamond, Hanseatic $2.60, Rulership $6, Let's Be Glam $6.50, Montessira $9 are the top ones in the market. To be honest, in all of these group ones, there hasn't been too much movement. They're probably waiting until race day to splash their cash, the punters. The Oakley Plate's the other group one, or one of the other group ones. Bivouac $2.70, Anaheed $6, Pippi at $8.50, and the Futurity Stakes, a super set, the three-year-old's favourite, Colding at $3.30. And the one that's been a little bit easy is the Kiwi mare, Melody Bell. She's out to $3.30. A bit of interest from a WA perspective in the Group 2 Petty Young Stakes, which is the last race at Caulfield tomorrow, with Regal Power, the WA star, second favourite at $3.10 in that race, behind Kingswood Dream at $2.65.
And the AFL preseason continues.
Yes, it does. 3 games over Saturday and Sunday. Melbourne take on Adelaide. Melbourne $1.70. Adelaide $2.15. Gold Coast $4. Take on Geelong $1.25. And on Sunday, Brisbane $1.45. Take on the Power $2.75.
Thanks very much, Alex. What do people need to know?
Drop into your local TAB agency to get a bet on. Log on to taptouch.com.au or call 1-3-2-3-6-8. But if you are going to have a bet over the weekend, make sure you do it responsibly. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Vlahos there with a Tab Touch odds update. And, of course, gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. We will be back after the 7 o'clock news. Huge second hour coming up. We're going to talk NBL with their commissioner, Jeremy Lowliger. We'll talk racing as well with Greg Carpenter, the All-Star Mile Field. Chris Stubbs will talk V8 supercars, and we'll check in straight after 7 o'clock with Neil Kilkenny from the Perth Glory. Welcome back to the second hour of Sports Day. Adam Papalia and Mark Redding's with you tonight. It was awesome to have a chat to Roxy Rue in the studio in the last hour, but we've got plenty more coming up on the show.
Yeah, change of pace. The NBL Commissioner, Jeremy Lowlieger, will talk about the magnificent NBL season to date with the playoffs to come next weekend. Greg Carpenter talks the All-Star Mile. Can a couple of WA gallopers find their way into the final field? And Chris Stubbs from Fox Sports, all supercars with the Adelaide 500 coming our way.
Let's get into our Perth Glory update. The Hyundai A-League, where heroes are made, and the Perth Glory are in action tomorrow against the Brisbane Roar. They've been busy. They've been travelling around the world in action again tomorrow back in the A-League, and pleased to say that midfielder Neil Kilkenny joins us now. Neil, thank you very much for your time. How's the team feeling? Obviously, you didn't get the result you wanted away there in Japan, but you've had a pretty hectic travel schedule.
Yeah, it's been a lot of travelling. Obviously, we didn't get a result that we really wanted, but we felt that we played really well, and hopefully we can put on a good performance tomorrow and hopefully get 3 points.
Neil, Adam mentioned the travel factor. In Perth, your base, but Brisbane is your next assignment. There's lots of K's there. How has the club managed the travel factor in terms of rehabilitation, hydration, just making sure the players will be ready to go for kickoff?
Yeah, we just obviously got here as soon as possible after the game the other day. So we got here yesterday morning. So we've had yesterday and today to train and get ready for the game today. So, I mean, tomorrow. So, you know, if every individual prepares differently, and I'm sure that we'll be ready for tomorrow.
The Glory's first Asian Champions League match. It's a pretty big occasion for the club, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I felt we put on a good show. We probably should have definitely got something out of the game, but you know, these fine margins are the difference in when you play against top teams, and that's what it was on Tuesday night.
And the opposition going into the match, Tony Popovich, and I'm sure yourself and others at the club realised that the style of play that your opponents were going to come out with, a little more hectic, more fast paced than what it can be experienced in the A-League. Did you find that there was a greater tempo to, say, an A-League contest?
Yeah, I definitely feel that, but I think that comes down to the weather as well. It was a bit chillier there, you know, I think around 10 degrees when you obviously come to the A-League and you're playing in 30, 35 degrees. So that's got a massive factor to do with it. So, and I felt we stood up to the challenge.
What are the conditions like in Brisbane, given you're coming from Japan across to play in Queensland?
Yeah, hot and humid, but we accepted that and we've got to deal with that. That's part and parcel of being a big team, and that's what we've done. That's what we are. So we're looking forward to the next challenge tomorrow night. Hopefully, like I said, we can get 3 points and come home with a good performance.
Important, isn't it? Given it's pretty tight at the top of the table.
Yeah, it's tight. You know, I felt obviously after the first couple of weeks, first 5 or 6 weeks, when we needed time to gel, but now we started getting our stride and we're performing well. And hopefully, you know. You know, like I said, we can keep this run going.
Brisbane Roar coming off a 1-0 victory last week over Western United. From a Perth Glory perspective, you've had a really good run, really, in the A-League over the past couple of months almost. Can you talk us through where you think you've been able to gel together defensively? You've been really good. Is there a feeling that you're building towards the best end of the best part of the season in terms of performance-wise?
I think at the start of the season that our performances were very well, but the little things probably didn't go for us. You know, the little things, people getting to know each other. And now you've seen that over the last probably 10, 12 weeks. And that's where we've gone on a run. So hopefully, like I said, we can continue that run and continue the performances and continue getting 3 points away from home and come back to Perth all very happy.
And it's been a while since you played against the Roar, right back at the start of the season where they're able to snatch a late equaliser. So you'll be certainly keen to take all 3 points if you can.
Yeah, definitely. We're keen to get 3 points, always are, when we play our games. So they're a tough team. They're on a decent run themselves. So we're looking forward to the game.
When it comes to your squad, we know that Nick D'Agostino coming into the lineup and scoring almost freely in his time. Chris Economides, unfortunately, gone for the season. But he's a young guy who really starred playing for his country. How has he settled into his role and what do you expect from him or hope from him between now and the end of the season?
hopefully can continue playing well and scoring goals. Obviously, he's got his chance, and that's what it's all about. That's what a squad's all about. Individuals, once they get their chance, they have to grab the opportunity, and I'm sure he'll continue doing that if selected.
Big story. I know it's been going for a couple of weeks, but the Glory ownership saga and where it's heading as a player, do you just completely close your mind to that and let Tony Sage do his business, or do you have a cheeky look and see what Jim Elwood and the likes in London are doing with the possible ownership of this football club?
We don't get involved in that. We play football. We work hard every day on the training pitch to try and get results, and that's what we'll continue doing.
Okay. Jim's been quite strident in the fact that he wants to turn this club and Tony Sage. And to be fair to Tony, speaking as outsiders, he's carried the burden for a long time, so you can't blame him for wanting to find a partner to carry some of the load.
Listen, it's got really nothing to do with us. All I have to say is Tony Sage has invested a lot of money into football, into the club and into football in Australia, so he's very passionate about what he does and he deserves massive credit for that.
Well, Neil, thank you very much for your time. We'll let you go. It's getting late over there in Brisbane. Good luck tomorrow, and we hope you get the 3 points and you can keep that unbeaten run going.
Cheers, guys. Guys, take care.
Neil Kilkenny there from the Perth Glory, part of our Perth Glory update. Football is better than ever. Don't miss the Hyundai A-League, where heroes are made. For tickets, search A-League. Good to have a chat to Neil. He wasn't giving you much on the cryptocurrency transactions.
Gave me donuts, actually, but I wasn't expecting much more. But the cryptocurrency, Jim Aylward, and I did see that on Twitter. We all did a couple of weeks ago and thought, hello, what's going on here? Lock, stock and barrel.
Still thinking that a little bit.
There's still a bit of...
More than a little bit.
There's a bit of curiosity, fascination and I guess scepticism about what the Glory's future is if they do go down that path. But I think Tony Sage, having heard the uproar or the backlash from some, have said, well, we'll just go through this process as you would do with great deal of due diligence. So let's hope that it all ends up in a good result for the Glory.
The story flip-flopping around a little bit the plot as thickens. The days go by, but we will keep on it with interest and keep all the Glory fans informed with everything that is going on at the club as it does progress. But in the meantime, we do wish them all the best against the Brisbane Roar tomorrow. 9221882 is the phone number. You're listening to Sports. Welcome back to Sports Day. Adam Papalia, Mark Reddings with you. And always make sure you boost your sales with the Australian-made logo. As we switch our attention to the NBL, of course, Skeet, they're not in action this weekend due to the FIBA break, but it does give the teams just an extra little bit of a breather to get set for a big finals series. And the teams are set and ready to kick into action next weekend. And it's a good chance for us to check in with NBL Commissioner Jeremy Lohleger, who joins us now. Jeremy, thank you very much for your time. It must be an exciting time. We've got the Boomers playing at the moment, but the NBL finals are not far away now.
Yeah, no, it's an extremely exciting time for us, capping off the regular season in a very dramatic fashion with some absolute nail-biters towards the end of the round there. And then, of course, MVP Gala Awards night, the weekend just gone, and of course, a happy Perth crowd, I'm sure, with Bryce Cotton taking out the honours yet again as our most valuable player of the season and very, very richly deserved.
Jeremy, there's been a lot of talk during the season that this has been the tightest in a long time, the best quality basketball we've seen for a long time. Now, some people say that's just the NBL spruiking, but there seems to be a groundswell of support behind that type of commentary.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's an overused cliche, but people are voting with their feet. You know, that's one of the reasons that we've had record attendances this year. Our aggregate attendances are up over 21% on last year. Every single club for the first time in league history has recorded an increase in average attendance compared to the season prior. And that doesn't happen by accident, by virtue of the fact that the quality of basketball is very good. The competitiveness is almost as close as it's ever been. Up until the last round of the season, I think the average winning margin was only 10 points, which would have been the closest in NBL history. We had a few blowouts in the last round there that affected that. But also one of the other interesting metrics that we've been looking at is how we compare to the NBA. And on a per-minute basis, we're higher scoring than the NBA. Our field goal percentage is higher than the NBA. So it's just an exciting brand of basketball, and it's crammed into a nice condensed period of time and get in and out with the family in 2 hours, it just makes a lot of sense to a lot of people at the moment.
Yeah, and everyone knows how good the game day experience is over here in the West. So the finals are set, obviously, Sydney taking on Melbourne and Perth taking on Cairns. Just give us a little insight into what people are saying over there on the East Coast. Are they sick of the Wildcats making the finals yet again?
Look, I think they like to say that, but at the same time, everyone over here does talk about how astonishing a record it is, making the finals 34 years in a row. It's funny over here, you'll hear people whinging about the Wildcats being there yet again, and yet if you travel overseas, it doesn't matter what city people are from, they'll claim the Wildcats as one of the most successful Australian teams of all time, and I think everyone's pretty proud that such a strong franchise plays in our competition, regardless of where they're from.
And when it comes to attracting big-name players, marquee players, Andrew Bogut's been, I suppose, the one that's in spotlight for quite some time now. But being able to attract those young Americans who've got the ability to draw crowds and in terms of television audiences, you've been able to attract the names to give this league even more credibility?
Yeah, our Next Stars program is pretty fundamental in terms of the growth of the competition this year, both in Australia, but very importantly, overseas as well. And the objectives of that program are threefold. The first is to help these young men be the very best versions of themselves that they can be ahead of the June NBA draft. We certainly think we've achieved that. And, you know, you look at someone like LaMelo Ball, who at the time of signing with us was, I think, ranked number 46 in terms of draft prospects and, of course, rose to number one while he was out here playing with the Illawarra Hawks. The second objective is to increase the relevance and credibility of our league outside of Australia and open up new TV markets. And it's no secret that we operate in a very congested sporting market here in Australia, particularly over summer. And so we're looking for alternatives in terms of how we can commercialise our sport and make it sustainable and successful into the future. And the third reason is it helps to bring eyeballs to Australian and New Zealand players who happen to be playing alongside the likes of LaMelo Ball, RJ Hampton, Didi Luzada. And I think Illawarra is a good example of that. Guys like Sunday Desh, Samson Throling, Dan Greeter, Emmett Nahr, all of whom will have been exposed to huge numbers of NBA scouts this season as a result of them tuning in to watch LaMelo Ball. So I think we'll see a huge influx of NBL talent going to NBA Summer League this year as well.
Yeah, and we hope to see more of those young stars heading to the NBL next season as well. You mentioned the ways to, I guess, expand the league. We've just seen the NBA All-Star Weekend. Has there been any discussions about how you could incorporate some of those concepts and do them more at the NBL level?
Yeah, there has actually. There's been a groundswell of support of late for something like an All-Star Weekend. We'd have to consider very carefully how and when we do it. One of the, practical difficulties that we've got is that we have a large number of games to fit into a fairly short amount of time. Plus, as we discussed earlier, you've got these two FIBA World Cup or Asia Cup qualifying breaks in each of February and November of each season. So that takes a good chunk of time out that we can't really use either. So we would like to explore it further. I think the format we'd have to look at, I really like the structure of the NBA All-Star Games at the moment, where the fans pick two captains and then the captains pick the rest of the team. It means that we don't have a geographic problem of trying to divide East and West or North and South. But yes, we're certainly open to ideas and we're exploring many of them.
I suppose watching the NBA All-Stars last week, are Australians, do you think, likened to go and watch and be really invested in it and take it to a football AFL point of view where the All-Stars game takes place next week, so to speak, against Victoria? State of Origin Rugby League is massive, we know, because there's a real tribal element to that. Is there an appetite, do you think, from the fans to go past their own club and embrace something like this?
It's a very, very good question, and it's one of the reasons that I suggest we'd have to think about format very carefully, because loyalty to a club is paramount. We've determined that over many years, and I think in order to make it more meaningful, you'd have to ensure that there was an incentive there for the teams to really play hard. Mm. Australians don't want to turn up to an exhibition match or a friendly, not in the middle of a season, You know, everyone will turn out for a good cause, but if it's in the middle of season, people want to see hard-nosed competition. And so maybe it's not an all-star weekend. Maybe it's something similar to the Copa del Rey in Spain as part of the ACB, their national league. They have a tournament for points and prize money halfway through the season, and it is hotly and fiercely contested on much the same level as the season proper. But you only get to contest it if you're in the top half of the table come that mid-season point. So that could add another dimension to a sort of a truly competitive mid-season event.
We're speaking with NBL Commissioner Jeremy Lowliga. Jeremy, just before we let you go, you mentioned Bryce Cotton, of course. We're all celebrating the fact that he's won another MVP. Where do you rank him in terms of imports that have come out to the NBL and the impact that they've had?
No, I think he'll go down as one of the greats, because he's playing fantastic basketball so very consistently now. And look, he's put his hand up and said he'd love to be an Australian, so I think we're going to see him here for many more years to come. He seems to be just getting into his prime now, and I reckon he's got a fair bit of longevity. He doesn't seem to go down injured very often. So, look, I think he'll go down as one of the all-time greats, and we're very, very lucky to have him here in Australia, and I hope that he gets his citizenship sooner rather than later. And I can't wait to see Perth take on Cairns in these first round of semi-finals. Fans MVP against the league MVP. That's going to be a fantastic matchup with Scott Machado.
Can he get his citizenship through before the Olympics?
Well, that's a very good question. Well, we should be making a few phone calls, shouldn't we? I'll leave that one up to Martin Paul Australia. I don't want to be tampering with those discussions.
Jeremy, just talking about the great numbers that the NBL has had this season, and we can transfer it to the NRL, whether it's South Sydney doing good things, or the AFL, if Collingwood or Carlton's going well, that's terrific. But having the Sydney Kings up and about, that adds a bit of spice, and certainly in terms of numbers and interest, that's the city you really have to crack to make sure this competition is really vibrant.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a fantastic bellwether city for us. Obviously, it's long been said that Sydney fans are fickle, and if they're up and about, then the crowds will get along and support them. And we've seen huge growth in attendances in Sydney last season and this season. Last season, largely off the back of Andrew Bogut returning to the club. This season, more because they're winning games literally like no club has before. They led from the first game to the last game. It's the first time it's ever happened in NBL history, and you know, most people have them as the favourites to take out the title, although you ride off Perth at your own peril. But this showdown between Sydney and Melbourne, it's probably the fiercest rivalry in the NBL, not just presently, but over the course of the competition. And I think there's going to be some real fireworks out there. Nobody's going to leave it out on the court. Everyone's going to leave it out on the court, I think. And I can't wait to see some of those matchups as well. In particular, Casper Ware, I think, and Mallow Trimble are really set for a big series.
I think everyone's looking forward to watching Sydney-Melbourne to see who is going to lose to the Wildcats in the grand final. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Thank you very much for your time. Great to have a chat.
Good on you guys. Thank you for your support. See you over there soon.
Jeremy Lowliga there, the NBL commissioner, and definitely looking forward to the NBL finals. Of course, the Wildcats in action. You get down there and support them. Friday, February 28 is when their finals campaign kicks off against Cairns. You're listening to Sports Day. Adam Papali at Mark Redding's with you. And always remember, boost your sales with the Australian Mark. Welcome back to Sports Day. Adam Papali at Mark Redding's with you this evening. Let's get into our Macca's Summer of Sports update. Macca's mini games are here. Play and win every time. And we're going to talk a little bit of racing, Skeet, with the All-Star Mile. It's a different concept, the second edition of it going around, but fans able to have a bit more of a say on the race as we have a chat now to Greg Carpenter from Racing Victoria. Greg, thank you very much for your time, and the top 10 horses for the All-Star Mile with the voting were announced yesterday.
They were, Adam. Mark, nice to be speaking to you. The original All-Star Mile last year was a tremendous success, and the All-Star Mile 2020 is going to be just as successful. I think we unveiled the top 10 horses that the voters have voted into the field yesterday at Caulfield. I'd have to say it was quite breathtaking with the Skydivers falling very rapidly from the sky on a windy Melbourne day, hurtling towards the lawn at Caulfield Racecourse, carrying the colours of the 10 horses that were voted in. And they went from Alligator Blood, this superstar three-year-old from Queensland who got over 18,000 votes. Last year's top vote getter only got 9,000, so he doubled that tally. right through to Super Seth in 10th place. So we're really happy with the quality of the top 10 announced yesterday. And now all the action and the attention turns to the five wildcards that we'll add over the next couple of weeks.
You mentioned the skydivers. Was Glenn Boss one of those? I saw some pictures of him doing a tandem skydive as well.
He did. He did it with the jumping team the day before, apparently. It was really interesting. I know, jumping out of planes for promoting things and trophies to the bringing AFL Premiership trophies to a football oval have been done. But Bossy, who has got his own helicopter licence and flies a helicopter around, he actually jumped out of an aeroplane the day before with these guys. They were at Caulfield in the morning on Thursday and did a rehearsal and then all jumped into, so they fell from the sky in the morning, jumped in a bus and went back out to Moorabbin Airport, went back up in the plane and jumped out again to unveil the top 10. And as I said, it was really windy conditions yesterday. The last 150, 200 metres of their landing before they actually try and glide onto the target, they really seem to be going very, very quickly. And not having seen the rehearsal, I actually thought the first guy was hurtling towards his death, but he pulled it around and Alligator Blood landed safely. So we've got Alligator Blood. Second in the voting was the New Zealand champion mare, Melody Bell, who won more Group 1 races than any other horse in the world last year. Colding, Chris Waller, who didn't have a runner in the All-Star Mile last year. Colding runs in the Futurity tomorrow, so he's won the Epsom and the Golden Eagle. Six Group 1 winners. Catalyst, the other New Zealand horse. For the first time, we've got New Zealanders in the field, which is great. And the two horses, which I would say are Cinderella story horses, Star Missile, who's the lowest rated of all the runners, that has a big group of owners. He was voted in the field, and so was Heart of Poissons. Corey Enright got behind Heart of Poissons. He's part-owned by a big group of footballers from St. Joey's Football Club and also Bungaree Football Club down there in the Geelong area. So those two horses, who aren't as well performed as the other eight, got enough votes to get in. And that's the beauty about the All-Star Mile. The first 10 horses into the race are the ones that the fans want to get in. And you can get some really inventive and innovative social media campaigns that can lift these horses who haven't quite got the profile of the superstars. Get into the All-Star Mile. It's the richest mile race on the planet. And even if you run last, you still take home $50,000. So all really well done to the 10 who are voted in. I'd have to say I'm a bit disappointed with the Western Australian factor that's not there at the moment. Blackheart Bart finished 13th. Regal Power finished 17th. But both of them are in action at Caulfield tomorrow. So they can actually perhaps put their case forward to get one of the five wildcard places who will make up the final field of 15 along with the top 10.
So just talk us through, Greg, the wildcard scenario. What has to happen for those horses outside the top 10 to earn an entry and grab their place in that field?
Well, there's five places left to go, Mark. The winner of tomorrow's Futurity Stakes will be automatically given a wild card. Now, Melody Bell, Colding and Super Seth, who are already in the top 10, if they win the Futurity tomorrow, that wild card goes begging and it becomes another discretionary wild card. But if Blackheart Bart wins the race tomorrow, he goes straight into the field with a wild card. It's the Blamey Stakes at Flemington next Saturday. Again, if the winner of that is not one of the top 10 horses, they go straight into the race. But if the Blamey winner is already in the race, then they are added to the other three discretionary wildcards. So there's five more places to be sorted out. The Futurity winner and the Blamey will go straight in. But if they're already in the race, then the selection panel, which I head, then we'll sit down and basically pick the five best horses who aren't in the race already to try and get the best field. Blackheart Bart would be a good chance to get one of those wild cards if he runs well tomorrow without winning, but he'll have to wait another couple of weeks. Fierce Impact, who won the Toorak and the Cantala Group 1 mile races back in the spring. He ran really well in the All Stakes first up behind Alabama Express. He's running in the Chipping Norton next Saturday, so he's a front runner. And even the three-year-old from Perth, it's a horse called Superstall. Mm-hmm. He ran fourth in the Kingston Town back in November or early December. He won first up at Ascot last week, winning the Challenge Stakes. He's going to run against Alligator Blood and Catalyst next Saturday in the Australian Guineas. Now, a wild card doesn't actually have to be nominated for the race, so we might say that if Superstorm can beat those horses or if he runs really well, we might give him a wild card. So there's a discretionary element that will play out over the next 2 weeks, and even Regal Power, who Willie Pike rides tomorrow in the last race at Caulfield in the Peter Young Stakes. He won the Railway Stakes back in November. I was talking to his owner, Bob Peters, today. And if he was to win the Peter Young tomorrow, he may also be one of the horses we consider for a discretionary wildcard.
We're talking to Racing Victoria's Greg Carpenter. Just briefly, Greg, we've, as racing purists over the last couple of years, loved the performances of Winx. And we love a great racing matchup. And you go back to Our Waverley Star and Bone Crusher in a Cox Plate. Well, Catalyst and Alligator Blood. Racing fans just love seeing two great thoroughbreds going at it, and we look ahead to the Guineas, as you said, but that's a type of matchup that gets purists really excited.
It was really exciting because Alligator Blood's got a big fan base, not only in Queensland, but right around Australia. Catalyst was the one to three-year-old from New Zealand, but we hadn't seen him on Australian soil. He measured up really well against Alligator Blood last week, and it's been talked about in the context of Bone Crusher and Our Waverley Star. Reduced Choice and Testarossa, 2 3-year-olds from a generation ago who went head-to-head. And I hope that we saw the start of a great sporting rivalry between those two horses last week. They'll go on to the Australian Guineas, and we hope that they'll then head to the All-Star Mile. We've got Super Seth, who's the only horse that's beaten Alligator Blood. He will hopefully go to the All-Star Mile. As I said, Alabama Express beat the older horses in the All Stakes, and he's going to run against them next Saturday at Flemington. So everyone will zone in on Alligator Blood and Catalyst, but there's going to be some really strong opposition next Saturday at Flemington, including, as I said, Superstorm over from Perth.
Greg, really appreciate your time tonight on Sports Day. Thank you very much, and everyone will certainly be watching on with interest over the next couple of weeks as they do build up to the All-Star Mile. Thanks very much for your time, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
It's a pleasure, and thanks to everyone in Western Australia who voted, and I hope one of you are lucky enough to be called out as an owner ambassador and share in that $500,000 prize money competition.
Brilliant prize it is. Greg Carpenter there from Victoria Racing. You're listening to Sports Day with Adam Papalia and Mark Reddings. Macca's mini games are here. Play and win daily for food prizes only on the My Macca's app. Thanks for your company tonight on Sports Day. Adam Papalia, Mark Reddings with you. Skeet, of course, we'll head across to Adelaide now because the Adelaide 500 is in action over the next couple of days. They're on track again tomorrow, and every session is exclusively live and ad break free on Fox Sports 506, and you can also stream it on Foxtel Go as well. And I say it's on Foxtel because we're crossing now to a pit lane reporter for Fox Sports in Chris Stubbs. Stubbsy, great to have a chat to you, mate. The action in Adelaide continues, and it's been a big day for Chas Mostert.
Absolutely. Good evening, boys. Great to chat. Chas Mostert, this is a huge story in the world of supercars. He's just made the big change at the end of the season to move camps from traditional rivals. He's gone from being a Ford man across to being a Holden man, joining the old Holden racing team as it was, Walkinshaw and Andretti United now, and he has gone fastest in this afternoon's session. Now, this was a red-hot hit out. It's a practice session maybe by name, but it actually counts towards qualifying, the second session counting towards Sunday's race. So this is a huge result. Chas is a star. He's not so young anymore, but he's a man that has been supposed to challenge for championships. But with the team he was at, particularly the last couple of years, they've really dropped the ball. So for him to move across to the old Holden Racing team and lift them to top a session for the first time in memory, in recent memory, is a huge result. Huge applause from the team because they invested a lot of money to get him across from Chickford. Only early, but it's paid some dividends so far.
What about Shane Van Gisbergen? What's he doing over there? We know he's a driver of great credibility.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Shane is the guy that I've been tipping to win this weekend. And
and to really push Scott McLaughlin all the way for the championship, I think he's probably where I would put my money for the title this year. He's been fast today as well, so he's been pushing the guys at the top of the timesheets, as you'd expect. He won four races in a row here only a couple of years ago, so he loves the streets here. He loves gripping a car. He's a real old-school racer's racer. You give him any sort of thing on four wheels and he will absolutely wring the neck out of it. So he's going to be pushing hard across the weekend and keeping the pressure on Chaz. It's certainly no guaranteed fairy tale for Chaz Mostert with a guy like Shane Van Gisbergen hot on his heels.
Hey, Stubbsy, what about the track in Adelaide? How does it differ? We know it's got its own peculiarities or vagaries. How different is it for the drivers to others?
Look, it's really hard, this one, because you've got to have a car that works really well over the bumps. So being a street circuit, it's pretty rough and ready. And we've had some significant regulation changes over the summer as well. So I won't bore you with the technical detail, but really involving the suspension, the aero setups of the cars. So that was in reaction to last year's dominance by the Mustang. So it's been a real leveler for the field because everyone's coming here not really knowing what to expect for the performance of their cars. And Chaz said, really, look, maybe it's a leveler. Maybe that's what's helped me. I've come into a new team, but everyone else has got this new sort of regulations thrown at them. So everyone's trying to get up to speed. So a leveler, and that's what this sport needs, to be honest. After the dominance of Scott McLaughlin last year, who's going for three in a row, it's good to see some other names at the top of the timesheets.
Just on Scott McLaughlin, how much is he going to be juggling his supercars commitments? Of course, he's trying to break in over there in America as well, racing some minicars.
Yeah, look, he has set the world alight over in the States. He's raised some eyebrows. Third in practice only a couple of weeks ago has been an absolutely outstanding result. So we know he races here for Roger Penske's team in Australia, and that's, of course, who the association is with over in the States. And that was a red-hot field in that test day that he was up against. It wasn't a field of rookies. There were some top-quality drivers that he was up against, and to finish third was a huge result. So for mine, that's why I'm picking Shane Van Gisbergen for the title this year, because it's just that fear that Scott might have his eye on another prize to a degree. Spending a lot of time in simulators and swapping from car to car can be difficult. And I think that's why, for mine, it's Shane. But Scott's not going to give it up easy. He wants to become one of the greats by winning three in a row. Don't worry about that. And he's been quick this weekend too.
Speaking of one of the greats, Jamie Wincup, a bit of news about this afternoon, this evening, that he might be pushing his supercars career into another year and going on in 2021 as well.
Absolutely. The seven-time champ could become a nine-time champ still. He is the greatest of all time, at least statistically. I'm standing alongside Craig Lowndes, so I should be careful what I say because I might get a kick up the backside. So Lowndes is obviously the most popular driver we've ever had. That's all right. He's going to take me back to the hotel now that I've said that, so that's all right. He's driving, so he'll get me there safely. So that's great news about Jamie. We believe he's going to announce that he is going around again. He has said he would make that decision prior to Adelaide. It hasn't happened yet. I can tell you we do have him on the show. I think 10 o'clock, that's our time here in Adelaide tomorrow morning, and he will discuss what he's doing in the future. So the suggestions at this point are that he will go on. So that's great news, because this is a sport that, as we've just discussed, might lose Scott McLaughlin. It's been the news about Holden. So this is a real shot in the arm to keep a guy like Jamie Wincup on the grid.
Hey, Stubbsy, I know you hesitated saying 10 o'clock your time, which is 7.30 hours. The Australian time zone is very tough to get your head around, but that is 2.5 hours at this point ahead of us. Just talk us through the next 48 hours. Those that love their supercars, tomorrow and Sunday, what's in store?
It's game on. It's action all day because we've got our qualifying format, which is a knockout qualifying format, something they introduced last year with great success. You see it in MotoGP, you see it in F1, and it just creates theatre, doesn't it, throughout those sessions. Top 10 shootout, which we love. Each guy gets the track all to himself, one in a row, counting down in backwards order from whoever qualified fastest into that position. And then we have racing. So both days, same format. And now this year, we're racing for even points on Saturdays and Sundays, same distance races, which is a great idea because it just makes it more easy to understand, doesn't it? And if you come here as a fan, you get to see the same amount of racing on a Saturday as a Sunday. So we can't wait to get cracking. The weather's going to be pretty hot. It's going to get up to mid-35s by Sunday. So that's going to be pretty brutal for these guys, about 50 degrees in the cabin. So they'll be tired come Sunday night.
Yeah, certainly will be. You will be too, roaming around pit lane across the weekend. While we're out there chatting to everyone, is the talk still all about Holden nationally?
Yeah, look, it has been. Not so much today. It seems like people now within this industry have very much got their eyes on what they've got to do in the cars and within the teams to get their performance right. But leading into the event, that was a huge bombshell. The question now is what's next? Not so much the shock of what's just happened, but what will the sport look like next year? Will there still be Commodores on the grid despite the absence of Holden as a brand here? Or will we bring forward our new generation of rules which were set for 2022 so that we can see some different manufacturers' suggestions? Maybe Toyota, BMW are sniffing around, Kia. So we could see a real evolution of the sport next year when we were, in fact, expecting that in 2022. So now people are looking to the future and just wanting to make sure that we still have hard, fast, loud racing because there's a big thirst for it in this country still.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting story right throughout the year on a number of levels and, of course, going to have an impact on the supercars too. Chris Stubbs, all the best over the weekend. We look forward to watching you on Fox Sports.
Thanks, gentlemen. Anytime.
Chris Stubbs there talking all things supercars. And as we mentioned, they are back on track again tomorrow at the Adelaide 500. And every session is exclusively live and ad break free on Fox Sports 506. And you can also stream it on Foxtel Go. You are listening to Sports. Thanks for your company on Sports Day. Adam Papalia, Mark Reddings with you. Skeet, tomorrow is going to be a big day for a lot of people because you've got the Rottnest Swim. People going from Cottesloe to Rotto, but our next guest is also doing a fair trek, not swimming, but riding all the way to Albany tomorrow, which I cannot even comprehend how people do that and ride that far. But he joined us on the line now. Our listeners, I think, will know him reasonably well, the former Claremont captain in Ian Richardson. Ian, thank you very much for your time. And you're jumping on the bike in the morning.
Thanks for having me, gents. Yeah, we're hitting the road 6 a.m. tomorrow and making the trek down to Albany, so it's going to be a big day.
Tell us how long this will take. Have you mapped this out? Have you done a dry run of some sorts to give you an idea of what a lunatic you are?
We're aiming for 20 hours. So former teammate Clancy Rutherford did it 8 years ago for another charity, and he did it 20 hours. So he's a bit of a fitness freak, so it might be a bit longer than that.
Ian, last time I saw you and we were calling a waffle final against West Coast, and you got poleaxed late in the game, but it was a very famous win for the Claremont Footy Club. How is the shoulder, collarbone? How's your body full stop?
Yeah, mate, the collarbone's fine. Got in, had surgery pretty much the next day, and I was hoping to play in the granny, which we obviously never made, but yeah, shoulder's pulled up fine. Got a big plate in there holding it together, and yeah, body's fine and enjoying retired life.
Okay, so Ian, tell us the idea to do the ride. Who came up with it? And in essence, was it a group decision? Have you come up with it yourself and drag mates into it? What was the process?
Yeah, so I've just, obviously the bushfires devastated Australia recently, and a lot of family and friends over there were pretty badly affected. Seeing photos and videos, I wanted to do a bit more and try and get a bit more funds raised. So I decided to do this, and yeah, my best mate Liam Gribben jumped on board, and also now Deck Manford from the Footy Club. So we're all into it.
Brilliant. So raising money for the Red Cross, how can people support you?
So we started a GoFundMe page. It's just gofundme.com/ride4relief with the number 4. We're aiming to raise 15 grand and we're just over 13 grand now, so pretty close.
Brilliant. So, well, hopefully you'll smash through that and people can jump on as well. So a GoFundMe page /ride4relief. So talk us through it. What time do you set off in the morning? And is it straight down Albany Highway? Is that the way you go?
Yeah, we've done a couple of practice runs up Armidale Hill. I don't know if you guys know it, but it's the toughest part,
yep,
I think. It's
pretty steep.
It's a 9 kilometre hill. yeah, so we're heading up at 6 a.m. and head up that way, and yeah, basically straight down Albany Highway. So it's a pretty boring highway, not much scenery to keep us entertained. But we're yeah, we've got a support car behind us who'll give us a bit of protection from the big road trains and that. And yeah, just going to slug it out all day, every couple of hours have a short break for some food and refuel.
Toughest thing you've done, Ian, football included, in terms of physically demanding, that you think you'll do in your career, in your life?
Yeah, obviously pre-seasons have been pretty tough, but yeah, we've done some big 6 and 7 hour training sessions and they were hard. So these are going to be the big day tomorrow is probably 3 times as long. So I'd say it'd be one of the hardest things we've ever done, yeah.
Well, we wish you all the best with the ride tomorrow, 20 hours. Hopefully you can get it done in. It's going to be a long day for you, but we wish you all the best and raising money for a good cause, and people can jump on that GoFundMe page and /RideForRelief is where you'll find it. They might see you. If anyone's driving to Albany tomorrow, might see you at some of the rest stops along the way, and they can donate there, I'm sure, as well on the way too. Ian, good luck with it, and we wish you all the best.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me, and great show.
Ian Richardson there. If you do see him on the road, just give him a little toot as you go past. 20 hours on a bike. I couldn't even imagine. I'd get about 30 minutes out of me, Skeet, and I'd be done.
Tell you what.
I wouldn't make it up the Armidale Hill.
It's a huge effort. He was a very crafty footballer. His body, after a long career, said, I've had enough. So what does he do? Jumps on a bike and punishes himself even more.
It's amazing what people have done. When you see charity efforts like this, where people just come up with, okay, well, what can I do in this situation? And the fact that they've almost reached their target is fantastic. So we hope that they smash through that and continue on. Skeet, been great to be in the chair tonight. Chris Ilsley is coming up next with Perth tonight. Good luck footy tomorrow.
Thank you very much. And Carl and Hayes will be back on deck, we think, we hope, on Monday.
You've been listening to Sports Day.